we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good Thursday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for making the Refresh Radio program part of your day. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. You are tuned in to 91.5 FM WMIE, today's Modern Worship. You may also be catching a rebroadcast at either 5 o'clock on the same frequency or 1510 AM at 10:30 of a morning. We do want to let you know about the community-wide day of prayer or night of prayer event that's taking place in Cocoa Village tonight at Greater St. Paul's Church. I believe that's on Stone Street. It's a follow-up to the National Night of Prayer that we had back in May, and scheduled another one for tonight. And so we're looking forward to being there. If I can be there, I'm going to be there. If I'm not there, you'll know that something happened and I wasn't able to get there. But we're looking forward to what God is going to do. God did say his house would be called a house of prayer for all nations. And we want to make sure that we are keeping that mandate alive by being people of prayer. Thank you to everybody who came out to the revival last night with Pastor Luis. We are truly grateful for the body of Christ throughout Brevard County, and looking forward to what the fall has in store for us. So we have been talking now, it seems like forever, but it's really not been, about out of Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus is giving his Sermon on the Mount, and he said to the disciples, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So that's that has been our starting point for this as we're going through the Sermon on the Mount. Today, I want to take you to the fifth chapter of John, and we are going to talk about a person who truly did light up his world. The reason that I know that he truly did it is because Jesus said that he did. And as a result of that, we're going to look at something. It may, what I share with you today may have a little bit of comfort to you if you have been trying to light up your family, light up your community, light up your workplace with the gospel of Jesus Christ and living that out. Today may provide you a little bit of comfort knowing that John the Baptist, while he did that, you know, there are some ups and some downs in that process. Let's just put it that way. Let's take you to John, the fifth chapter, verse number 31, where it says, "If I bear witness of myself," this is Jesus speaking, "if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved." Okay, there goes back to the intent that Jesus has, the purpose. He wants people to be saved. It says, "He," John, "was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, and the Father has sent me. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me, and you have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." So let's just start with the fact Jesus is saying here that the things that he tells us are for the purpose of us being saved from being ensnared by the enemy, saved from being separated from God for all of eternity. We are to be made whole. It is everlasting life. As a result of that, we need to have his word abiding in our heart. It says, verse number 38, but you do not have his word abiding in you because whom he sent, him you do not believe. If you and I are believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are going to have a great appreciation for the word of God. We are going to want the word not just to impact our ears, but we're going to want that word to abide in us, to dwell in us, not just to be some sort of external mandate, but to be an internally driving force in our life. And he says, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Verse number 40 of that passage. And the truth of the matter is that is the basic problem that many people have. It's not that they have been given insufficient information. It's not that they have had faulty seed planted in their life. It's not that they have had nobody tell them the truth. It's not that they're uninformed. They have everything that they need to know. It is very important to know what God's will for our life is. It is also very important to have our will respond to his. Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. Many people today want to place all of the blame and all of the other responsibility for them not having a relationship with Jesus on other people, on a lack of information. But the truth of the matter is, they just aren't willing. Some people say, give us a sign. Jesus said, you've got all the signs you need. An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. In the story of the rich man who died and went to hell, he said, you know, Father, send Lazarus down here to give me a, you know, just to dip his water or fingertip in the water and bring me a little bit of comfort. I'm miserable in this place. And he said, hell, he can't get there. And he said, well, send him to my brothers so that they don't end up in this miserable place. I'm telling you that those who are actually already eternally separated from God are highly motivated to make sure that you do not duplicate their mistake. And he says, Father Abraham, send him back to my family. And he says, no, if they do not believe the witness that they already have, they will not believe even if someone is raised from the dead. Jesus was, in fact, raised from the dead. Many people still refuse to believe and come to Jesus because they just don't want to. So I told you this would bring a little bit of comfort to you. Jesus says of John in verse number 35, he was the burning and shining lamp. There is no evidence whatsoever that John was trying to obscure his mission. He wasn't trying to undermine his mission. He wasn't trying to keep it under concealment. He was trying to impact his community. His ministry even reached to the throne in Jerusalem. It touched Herod and Herod's family. There were people of all varieties that were coming to John to be baptized. And he said he was that burning and shining lamp. And here's the part. He says, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. Okay, so there we do get that there was some sort of will to come and it describes the word rejoice. You were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. So they actually got to where they enjoyed the ministry of John the Baptist. It was something that was quite an attraction, if you will. And the people were willing. They would travel. He wasn't ministering in a metropolitan area. He was ministering out at the Jordan River. So people migrated to where he was to such a magnitude that the religious leadership sent people out there. And John the Baptist said, you know, "Oh, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come?" So it began to touch some of those people. His ministry, because of people who were impacting him, you'll find in the book of Acts, had even reached to some of the non-Israel geographic regions. It had gone beyond the borders of Israel. Apollos, when he first started preaching, only had heard of the baptism of John. There were people that Paul ministered, and he said, "Well, into what baptism were you baptized?" "We were baptized into the ministry or into the baptism of John." And he said, "Well, have I got a great bit of news for you." So his light was very effective, and people were willing to rejoice in that light for a time, for a season. And what Jesus is basically stating here is this: there came a time where you were no longer willing to rejoice in that. Now, I will tell you that making a decision that you are no longer going to celebrate and partake of the provision of revelation that God has given to you, that is a very, very sad place to be. You want to rejoice in what God has done for you. Now, I want to speak to those who are very motivated to live their light for the illumination of other people's worlds. You want your lamp is just like John's. It's burning, it's shining, it's making an impact. And then there's people that come, and then there's people that go. And I just want to speak to you this and say, keep on shining. Keep on burning. Don't let someone else's bad decision cause you to make a bad decision. And believe me, I'm speaking from a great deal of experience. Where people come, they partake. Not talking about anything current. I'm talking about, you know, decades and decades of people coming. We've literally had thousands of people come to Merit Assembly of God through the years. And we just keep on shining. We just keep on preaching. We keep on reaching. We keep on loving. We keep on impacting our community the best that we can. We keep on doing all of that, knowing that many of those people that we pour out of ourselves into, we pour into them what God has poured into us, knowing that many of those are just going to one day wake up and they're going to say, "You know what? I'm no longer rejoicing in that light." It's not because that it's God's will. It's because simply they made a decision that says, "You know what? That light fixture, it just isn't working for me anymore." Does anybody ever watch, those home renovation programs? That's one of the channels that I watch with a great deal of frequency. And the people who were saying, "You know what, this looks really good," you know, that same industry, 20 years later, they come back and say, "Oh, look at how outdated that is. That is just so ugly." And then 20 years later, you know what they're back to? They're back doing retro, what was in style that they were just criticizing, you know, a few years earlier. One of the latest trends that I've noticed is that color schemes, exterior color schemes that are now deemed to be in style and hot, you know, they're popular. Some of those color schemes are the exact same color schemes that I remember seeing like back in the 70s. And it's like, okay, I didn't think it was pretty back then. So if people come and they receive the ministry that you have, the representation of Jesus that you have, you keep on shining. Don't worry about whether or not they're going to stick around forever. Some will. Some will. But whatever you do, please don't get discouraged over the ones who just decide, you know what, I don't feel it anymore. It's not working for me. I don't feel like I'm getting anything out of this. Don't let their decision deprive the others who are greatly appreciative of the light that God is shining through your life. You just continue to pour into those. You know what? The light shines. How people respond to the light is up to them. So I want to encourage you, shine brightly, burn constantly for the glory of God. Light up your world the way that John the Baptist did. And, you know, if people receive it, that's fantastic. But really, you and I are not doing it for the appreciation of man. We are doing it for the glory of God. And so if people turn and you know, walk away, go chasing after another light, but let me tell you this, the Bible talks about he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. I just think that is a fantastic verse. There's a lot of wisdom in that verse. I know, because there's been times that I was chasing fantasies. I didn't think I was chasing fantasies. I thought I was chasing something else, but it ended up being a fantasy. God's given me some wisdom in that area. So you burn bright, you shine, you light up your world for the glory of God, and you will hear like John. John was declared the greatest that had been born of women, and people still rejected his ministry. So if people reject your ministry and you're burning brightly for the glory of God and you're burning in spiritual truth, you know, you are declaring truth to the community, you're in pretty good company. So don't let other people's bad decisions impact you to where you make a bad decision. Amen. I'll amen myself. Over in John chapter 8, we're going to read another portion of scripture, verse number 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So Jesus is the ultimate light of the world. I just want to make that point again, that we are not generating the light. We are simply dispersing the light that God has poured into our hearts and into our life. Jesus is the light of the cosmos. He is the origin. Everything that has been created was created by him and through him, and it exists for him. He is the light of the cosmos. And he says, He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And so we see that The reason that this light is important is because there's life that is going to come about as of it. But there's another truth in this passage that I want to spend just a couple of minutes on, and that is this. It says, "He who follows me shall not walk in darkness." Right there in that verse, Jesus describes that he is a God who is on the move. Jesus is walking and talking. He sees what the Father is doing in the Spirit, and he does those things. And he hears what the Father is speaking, and he speaks those things. He gets up of a morning and he communes with the Father, and the Father says, I want you to go over here and I want you to preach the gospel in this village. And even though there's a lot of great things that are taking place in this village, it's time for you to go over here and preach to this village. They need to hear this truth as well. They need you to light up this world. Jesus is on the move. I remember years ago, there was lots of talk about the charismatic movement, and a person made this statement. He said, "I believe that the most important aspect of the charismatic movement is the movement. God is on the move. God's kingdom is not resting. He is not just waiting for an attack from the enemy so that he retaliates." He said to Peter, when Peter made his great declaration of faith, he said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Now, I want you to understand something. Gates don't move. They swing, but it says this, that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. That means that the body of Christ, the church, is supposed to be gaining ground, plundering the kingdom of darkness, advancing the gospel. And so I want to encourage you, let's not get this status quo mindset that says we are not going to grow anymore. We've got our family saved. That ought to be good enough for this bunch. No, there's somebody else's family that needs to be saved. There's somebody else's little girl that needs to be saved. There's someone else's boy that needs to be healed. There's so much. Jesus said, If I am the light of the world, and you need to follow me. That means that not just in a mobility sense, we're talking about a spiritual journey. He's talking about discipleship here. He's talking about reaching the lost and making disciples of those that are saved. Okay? And it says that if we will follow him, we shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And so I would say to you today how absolutely important obedience is. If we're going to follow Jesus, Jesus said that we would take up our cross daily and follow him. That means that there's going to be some things that you do that your flesh is not going to like. There's going to be some things that Jesus will have you do as you are following him that are not going to be convenient. They're going to be costly. They may be time-consuming. But the result of that is that you and I are going to have light, a light of life wherever we go. So I started off today talking about John the Baptist, who burned brightly for the glory of God. There was a time where his ministry was very popular and people rejoiced for a season in that light, for a time in that light. But there also came a time where many people said, you know what? It's just not working for me anymore. There was also a similar event in Jesus' ministry. If you were look into John chapter 6, there are thousands of people who are following him, and Jesus begins to talk to them about some very complex truths in the spirit realm. And it says in verse number 66 of John chapter 6, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Thousands of people, also many who were disciples, were following him. And all of a sudden, there were some things that they didn't understand. It was a hard saying that Jesus had given to them. That is mentioned in John chapter 6, verse number 60. "Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?'" And I just want to encourage you, when there is something that is going on that is beyond your understanding, it is not beyond God's understanding, and it's not beyond God's explanation. God is able to clarify. But the greatest form of obedience is not waiting for an explanation before you obey. The greatest form of obedience is when I do not understand, but yet I still trust him. I am going to continue to go and walk in obedience because I'm following him. Paul would say, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And you know how Paul followed Christ? Wholeheartedly. He followed him with great passion. He was like, "Look, I was the chiefest of sinners. What he did to make my life what he wanted it to be was unbelievably off the charts. It was amazing grace that he displayed on my behalf, and I am not going to give him some timid obedience. I'm going to give him wholehearted obedience." If you're shining for the Lord today, I encourage you, keep it up no matter how people respond to you. And the second thing that I would say is God is on the move. He's on the move in your life, and he's on the move in my life, and we want to continue to follow him. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."